Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. You can find us also on Facebook, where we have a growing community of 6,500 women, largely women, all talking about the juggle of a career with childcare. I'm delighted that you have made the time to join me today. My guest is Amy McClellan. She's a freelance writer and journalist who's written for so many publications. The list would go on and on, but they include the Evening Standard, the Independent, the Eye, the Guardian, and she writes for lots of trade publications and corporate websites as well. But her debut novel, Remember Me, is published by Orion and out on Thursday, the 16th of April. And that's the reason I have invited her today to talk about the creative process of writing and writing a novel in particular. She and her husband, Adam Hamdy, who's also a well-known author, have three children and live in Shropshire. So they are right in the thick of things right now, trying to juggle work with school closures and keeping kids entertained, as we all understand only too well. But if you've ever wanted to write a novel, and I know there are lots of you out there, or just put pen to paper almost as a kind of therapeutic process, lots of people are advocating that as a good way of dealing with mental health issues right now. And I know there are a number of people considering that now we're all in lockdown and not able to spend our evenings going out, wining and dining. Now could be a good time to actually start that novel. So I've invited Amy along to talk about that process. We're both in our respective bedrooms, I think, but bear with us. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Amy, thank you very much for making the time. I know it's all a really strange time. We're on recording this on the Thursday before Easter, and I think most people would ordinarily be leaving the office early to head to the pubs, but here we are in our respective homes recording this podcast. So, you know, the main topic today is lots of people are talking about now could be a great time to write that novel that you've been wanting to write. You're obviously a highly experienced writer. How did you first get into journalism and writing?
Well, I always loved writing. Even as a child, I was always writing stories and poems. I even produced my own handwritten magazine as a child. I used to handwrite every article, every letter to the editor, which was me, every advert. I used to make up adverts and I used to hand draw them all.
This did it have a theme?
Ponies. All about ponies. And this was my scheme to somehow earn enough money to buy myself a pony by self-publishing my own magazine. And I suppose I should have learnt the lesson back then that there's not really any money. I was always into writing. And so when I left university, I wanted to get a job that still involved writing. So I worked in PR for a little while, which I enjoyed. And I really enjoyed seeing how journalists worked. So then I moved into journalism and got a job writing about the energy markets and oil and gas, which was really exciting. Traveled all over the world, you know, helicoptering out to oil rigs and going to some really exciting destinations, Tehran and the Arctic Circle and all over the place. And then in 2002, I went freelance. And the main driver for that was basically to have more time to write on creative projects. And so I've produced more novels. And you can probably tell from the fact I started work on all of that in 2002. Mm. And here we are in 2020 and about to have the first book coming out. So it's been a long process, which I think would be my advice to anyone who's planning to use the lockdown to write a novel. It is the beginning of a journey.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a really important point, isn't it? Because I mean, how do you go from, okay, I've got an idea for a novel to, okay, there's my book on the shelves in Waterstones. I'm sure there's a lot of heartache and blood, sweat and tears, but you know, what's been your experience?
I mean, I think like if you speak to most writers, they have all endured a certain amount of rejection So I think you do need to develop both a thick skin in terms of it feels very personal when your work is rejected, but you also need to listen to advice that people give you. I think writing is a craft, and there's definitely a lot that you can learn from other people, from agents, from publishers, from the people who perhaps they might reject you, but also give you some advice about this is good, but maybe work on this angle, or we really like this, but we don't know which market this would sit in. And I know writers like to think of perhaps it's all about the art, but actually when it comes to publishing, it is a business, mm-hmm. and they like to know which genre you sit in, which audience would be buying your book, you know, how can they place you? Where do you compare to other books that are selling well? So I think when you're setting out, it's good to have a good idea for a story, but remember, it also needs to be something that readers will want to read, and that importantly, publishers feel they can sell. Mm. So I think it is definitely worth, before you begin work, have that idea in your head of who your reader is and the story you want to tell them, and perhaps why it's different than other works in that genre, because it can be a little bit soul destroying. There are so many books being published every week, and I think you do need to try and think, what have I got to say that's a bit different? Why would somebody pick my book off the shelf? Why would a publisher want to bet on me? And I do think it is worth spending a little bit of time before you delve into your first chapter to have that in your head to help guide you through the long process that is involved in writing the next 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 words, whatever it may be.
Very interesting. So I think there were probably two camps of people, some people who just enjoy the process of writing or trying to write, and then others who obviously really want to make this a career or make it lucrative. If we start with just the process of writing for enjoyment or for yourself, and again, there's a lot being talked about at the moment with mental health and how writing and expressing your feelings through writing can help at the moment. What's the creative process? How on earth do you come up with the idea for a novel?
Well, I think for a novel, sometimes you just find it's a, sometimes I've found an idea has just popped into my head. Sometimes when I'm doing something completely different, something completely unconnected to the writing process, or I'm not trying to be creative in any way, and sometimes an idea will just come to me. And I do have a notebook where I do just jot down ideas because it's really easy to forget them sometimes. Mm. So sometimes ideas do come to you fully formed. I do agree that I do think writing is a great creative outlet, particularly times when you are stressed or you're going through very stressful, very emotional times. And I think you don't even have to think about it, oh, I'm going to turn this into a novel. I think sometimes even just doing some journal entries, writing down the feelings that you've got, writing a letter, or maybe just a sort of stream of consciousness almost about what you're feeling, what you're going through. Mm-hmm. It can be a real emotional release. And I think these are very worrying times that we're all living through at the moment. I do think it is quite a good process to go through sometimes, is to put things down on paper. And I certainly find we are living through history, really. Mm. So we actually at home with the children, we started a scrapbook, putting in some of the newspaper headlines and, you know, what it was like when the school closed and we were at home. And I encouraged the children just to jot down some thoughts as well. Mm. And I was really surprised because I thought they were coping with it really well. And when I read some of the entries that they'd written in this, it's just a really informal sort of scrapbook, I was really surprised actually what they felt able to write down in words that they hadn't been able to voice to me as their mum. And I do think it can be a really useful way of sometimes of opening up perhaps tricky conversations or dealing with some complicated feelings, is to actually go through that process of picking up a pen, or, you know, for some people it's easier to type, and just writing it down, it's sometimes surprising what feelings and thoughts and emotions your brain funnels through to your hand and you look at it on paper. And I think it can be a very useful exercise in really stressful times.
Yeah, that's a really powerful tool. Yeah. So coming back to the idea of writing and forming a story, do you have to have, when you get these ideas, and as you said, you jot them down in a notebook and so on, do you have to have the end in mind when you start that creative process, or does it develop and evolve as you're writing?
It's really interesting. If you speak to authors, there are usually two camps, plotters and pantsters. And the plotters are people who like to have everything worked out in advance. And they'll often have little cards with all the characters written down on, and they'll plot everything out chapter by chapter and when the action's happening and when there's a twist. And then the pantsers are the people who like to fly by the seat of their pants and it just go, you know, it just flows as they go through it, and they don't know what the ending is, and they never know. It's almost as if the characters and the story takes on a life of its own, and they only find out towards the end themselves what's going to happen. I went to a talk with Shari Lapina, who's a best-selling author of psychological thrillers. She did The Couple Next Door, and someone we know was her latest. And she very much, she never plans anything in advance, and she never knows herself what's going to happen until towards the end. It's very much, it just comes. I have to say, I do like to have a plot worked out in advance. Mm-hmm. I like to know where I'm going and have a feeling of what the ending will be. And then as I'm writing, it may be that I deviate from it a little bit, but in the whole way through, I know where I'm going to end up and roughly when and where things are going to happen. And I just find that a more helpful, useful way for me to go.
Yeah, fascinating. And then, so on the sort of the more commercial end of the spectrum, do you go through this whole process, write your novel, and then go and find publicist, agent, publisher?
I got an agent first, and I'd say most people do that. So originally, when you start off, really, you are writing, your first professional audience is going to be for an agent. There are lots of different literary agencies, so it's worth perhaps following some of them on Twitter, Googling them, looking in the writer's handbook, and getting a feel for agents who represent other authors in your field, so in your genre. Most agents will ask for three chapters and a synopsis and a covering letter. They are very picky about you following very strictly their submission guidelines. I know nothing gets an agent's backup than people sending them their work in formats that they haven't asked for, or in a way that they haven't asked to have it submitted. Obviously, so much of it's digital now. So always look up the submission guidelines on an agent's webpage. They're usually very clear about what they want and how they want it submitted and how long they'll take to read it. And usually it is first three chapters, or perhaps around 10,000 words, and a synopsis of the story that they're looking for. Once you've got an agent, the agent will then take it out to publishers for you. But you should have the full manuscript written. And that's usually, for commercial fiction, it's usually 80 to 120,000 words that would be considered to be a sort of full-length novel.
Right. And how long does that... Is it possible to say how long that process takes?
It's interesting because some people can take years and years. I mean, I know people who've taken over a decade on their first book. With mine, I actually wrote it really quickly, because from the point where the publisher said, yes, we'd like to go with this, they then said, and we'd like it. They wanted it in time for a book fair and they wanted it turned around really quickly. So I think it was about 4 or 5 months to write the book, which was quite intense at the time. But there are people, my husband's also an author, Adam Hamdi, and he is writing 2 books a year at the moment. Yeah. So that's, again, it's quite a tight process. You have to be quite disciplined to keep to your word count.
Do you think that this current global health crisis is going to suddenly spark a massive interest in, I don't know, whether it's health crime or conspiracy theories or whatever? I mean, do you
Hard to tell. I mean, there are quite a lot of books out there written in the post-pandemic sort of apocalyptic landscapes. I'd actually started work on one myself, which I'd got about a third of the way through. But I actually don't think that anybody is going to want to read about that for a little while. I think it's going to be very raw for people. I have seen publishers and agents saying, I want to read submissions that are lighthearted, that are fun, that take me into a different world than the one we're currently living through. So it's very hard to tell. But the whole process from also having an idea for a book, writing the book, finding an agent, getting a publishing deal, and then your book actually coming out is so long. So I think I finished writing my book in 2018 and here we are, April 2020, and it's only just about to come out in paperback. It's a really long lead time. And it's interesting, you know, there was, when I was writing the book, there was no hint of a pandemic, and here we are in a completely changed world. So you never know how, you know, the public's taste for books might change, or how the world indeed might change.
Yes, of course. And I mean, even just thinking now, logistically, usually when you launch a book, I'm sure you go and do a big book launch around the country and that kind of thing. I mean, what's the publishing industry doing at the moment in place of that?
Yes, well, at the moment, events are obviously all going online. So Zoom, Twitter Q&As, quite a lot of publishing world is on Twitter. So there's a lot of activity on Twitter at the moment. Some authors have amazing Facebook presence as well. There's one particular author, Mark Edwards, who has a great Facebook following, and he's really interactive, and he has a secret Facebook group for particular fans, and you know, he's got an amazing presence on Facebook. So authors, I think, are really being encouraged now to do more and more online and on social media in order to reach out to readers. Obviously, supermarket sales and bookshops have always been a good channel to get books into the hands of readers, and again, that's very limited at the moment.
Yes.
So it's you know, finding new ways to reach out to readers. I think we're all learning together, really, you know, what the industry might look like.
I'm really interested in your new novel. Please, I mean, could you, for our listeners, just give us a, without giving too much away, just give us a brief summary of what it's all about.
Well, the book's called Remember Me, and my main character 20 years ago was involved in a horrific car crash that left her with a brain injury, and it's left her with a condition called prosopagnosia, which I've had to practice saying many times, which is more commonly known as face blindness, which means she can't recognise faces. So she can see faces, but she can't recognise them. And it's a particular injury to a part of the brain that is dealt with sort of visual processing. And apparently it's very common, about one in 50 people can have it to some degree. Yes, and it's interesting, when I've been at events and speaking to people, how many people have come up to me and said, oh, I've got that, or I know someone who's got that, or gosh, when you were talking about that, it made so many things in my life suddenly make sense. I never realized it was an actual condition. So it's definitely, you know, quite a widespread complaint. Anyway, she's got this condition. She witnesses a brutal murder. She's the only witness, and the police come calling, and they obviously think that she's somehow involved, because she's been framed for the murder. So she has to try and find the murderer, but because she's got face blindness, she never knows that the people she's talking to are actually who they say they are. And as a side result of having the condition, she's actually got severe social anxiety. She leads a very isolated life. She doesn't often go out because she's always worried that she'll make mistakes because she can't recognize people. So become very socially isolated. She's very anxious, And it's quite strange because I almost feel like I'm living her life at the moment. I'm in my house and not seeing people. I'm very socially isolated. So it is quite interesting that I'm talking about a character who I wrote about 2 years ago. And yet all of us now, I think, are perhaps suffering a degree of social anxiety when we do the, you know, the essential trip to the supermarket
or
we're out and about. It almost feels like her life has become my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. God, what a thought. Thank you so much. It sounds fascinating. And we'll include the link so people can buy it on Amazon. They don't have to go to a shop to buy it, obviously, while we're still all socially distant. I usually finish each of the interviews with a couple of questions for my guests, which are not related to the actual topic we've been talking about, but more about being a working mum. The first one is, what's the one piece of career advice that you would give to your younger self?
I think it would be to be less worried about what people think. Certainly, I do feel that trying to be a people pleaser in the workplace is not always been the best route to go. And I think sometimes you have to remember in the workplace, you're actually not there to be people's friends all the time and solve all their problems. And whilst it's great to be friendly and have a great rapport with the people that you work with, I do think sometimes it does help to have a little bit of professional distance so that when you do need to perhaps make some tougher decisions, it's easier to do so and cleaner to do so than perhaps if you have allowed it to become a bit too, you know, muddy.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I think it's funny, it's something I really identify with. I don't know if it's, you know, just as you get older, I become more confident in my own ability. It's a really great piece of advice. And the second one is, what are you either reading or watching or listening to at the moment? I'm sure as an author you have, and a writer, you have a phenomenal amount of books and things on the go. But is there something you might recommend for our listeners?
Well, at the moment, I'm rereading Wolf Hall, which I absolutely love Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel, and I'm rereading it at the moment. I'm actually going to, because I've got the third one waiting for me. I'm not going to read it until I've read the first two again. It's really interesting actually being back in that world, because obviously it was a world that was quite regularly troubled by waves of sweating sickness and plague, and so it is interesting because their response to it was, you know, you shut the door for 40 days until to quarantine your household after there's been a death from the sweating sickness. And it is interesting that here we are 500 years on, and it seems to be that is our only defense at the moment. So it's it certainly resonates at the moment reading the life of the Tudors.
Yeah, I think you've inspired me to pick up that book again. Thank you very much for your time today, Amy. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Stay well and stay safe. Massive thanks to Amy for giving up her evening to talk to me and talk about the process of writing a novel or a fiction piece of work. I really enjoyed that. I love talking to people about industries that I know nothing about. I find it absolutely fascinating. Lots of interesting tips and things there, not only for people if you're thinking of writing a novel, but also just as a kind of different perspective on what's happening right now in the world. So huge thanks to Amy. And don't forget, there's a link to Amazon where you can find her new novel that is out on Thursday in paperback, Remember Me. And as always, please don't forget to leave a review and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or wherever it is that you are listening to us. Thank you very much. I hope we'll be back next week with another episode.